I spoke last week, and we're continuing on the same kind of topic in the same passage, and so I'm going to do a quick recap of what I was speaking on last week. We are in the book of Ephesians. But I shared with everyone, it's been heavy on my heart, this prayer for revival, this prayer for awakening in our nation, this prayer that we would be able to meet the needs of our community, both the physical needs and the spiritual needs, but ultimately here to save souls. And we've been kind of on this topic of, you know, the church has to go first. If we're going to see a move of the Lord in our city, you're going to see the church move first. You're going to see us move first. If we're going to see lives changed in our community, you're going to see that change in the church. That's where it starts. It starts here with us, with God's people. Because he uses us for his plans. And Paul, a month ago I looked over Paul's first prayer for the Ephesians, that they as a church would be equipped to be the church. And we took that on as our own prayer. Lord, we want to be the church. Equip us to be the church. And then last week, we started to look over Paul's second prayer for the Ephesians. And in Paul's second prayer for the Ephesians, he prays for one thing. He prays for spiritual strength, that they would be strengthened by God alone. And we ask the question, why is he praying for that? Because he just got done saying that he is amazed by the work of God and the fact that we are a part of God's work. In Ephesians 2:10, this is before his prayer in chapter 3, Paul says this, For we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do good things he planned for us long ago. This is the purpose of the church, of God's people, to go and do the work that he has planned for us. Amen? This is the purpose. Eric's speaking about being salt and light in the church. This should not shock us. This is our purpose. He's talking about the church stepping up. That's what the church does. He's talking about giving cheerfully even when you don't have it. That's what the church does. Good works planned for us long ago. And when he's praying for this, he notes his own calling on his life, the plans the Lord had for him. And he notes the fact that there was hardship, there was struggle, and there was difficulty in executing good works. How many of you guys have noticed that sometimes it's really difficult to do good things? Not just in ourselves, but sometimes you're trying to do good and you realize there are so many obstacles in the way. I'm wanting to bless this person, there's obstacles in the way. And in that moment, the Lord's like, I need you to go all the way. You know, I want to know how much you're willing to actually bless this person. You know, it's when a small favor turns into a big job, right? A small favor turns into a big job. Anyways, he notes all this struggle and hardship, and what does he pray? He prays for spiritual strength by God alone. And what he's trying to get us to realize is that we, as God's people, are to be a people that serve God alone, that are empowered by God alone, and that have no plan B. There's no, well, if God doesn't work out, I have these other things lined up, right? There's no, well, you know, God's great and all. You know, I'm going to lean on him like Scripture says, but if he falls through, I have a secondary option right there, right? No, God say, no, it's just me alone. So he doesn't have this exhaustive list of resources for the church. He has one thing, God. I pray that you are strengthened by God alone. And we're taking that on as a prayer for us. Father, strengthen us by you alone. We want to be a people who live by you alone. So let's go ahead and read this prayer in its entirety. And then we'll jump into breaking it down so that we have these kind of edible chunks to take with us this morning. So Ephesians 3, verses 14 through 21. And he's saying this after going through the fact, he's kind of talking about the fact that God has works for you. God has plans for you. And he expects them done. God has good works planned for you. And so he says, when I think of all of these good works God plans for you, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and I pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow ground deep into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Now all glory to God, who is able, through his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So last week we came to this conclusion that Paul is praying for inner strength because it's God alone that is able to not only accomplish the good works set before us, but to do far more than we might even imagine. You see how he starts the prayer by praying for inner strength, and he gets to the end and he explains why, because we serve a God who's going to do more than you can imagine. And he's going to use you to do it. There's this idea that one day this reality, that one day we're going to stand before God. And he's going to either say, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Or he's going to say, "Get away from me, evil one. I don't know you." And the difference is that when you stand before him, there are good works that he has planned for you to do, and he expects them done. And I've had to reiterate this myself to myself, like, man, that is harsh. That is harsh. We're going to stand before him, and he says, "I expect this done. My people, my church, my body to be a reflection of me." How many of you guys, that makes you a little uncomfortable? Just a little. There's just a little hesitancy there. There's something in me, like, and this is something we pray for. Lord, why does that make me a little anxious? Why does that make me a little nervous? Why? But there's nothing to be nervous about, because we have all we need, God alone. So Paul prays this after explaining the wonderful works and wisdom of God, the works he did through Christ and all that was accomplished. How we who were once opposed to Christ are now part of his family, and how now we have good works planned for us to do by God. And Paul prays this prayer knowing the hardship, struggle, and difficulty of doing the good works planned for us. And in the first part, verse 16, he explains, I'm praying for spiritual strength for you. Now we're going to get this description of what exactly happens in that spiritual strength. It's a description of what this spiritual strength is and what it means and what benefits it's going to bring to us, right? It's kind of the what you can expect to happen now list. And it's like someone who, I've been working out more this summer, so I'm going to use this analogy, running and all of that stuff. Luke's over there laughing. I think pastors, when they speak, they have this tendency to just use whatever's going on in their life right now to kind of illustrate things. So, but anyways, if you were to do a workout, one of the first things I'd do is say, drink water, and here's some protein, here's some food. And this is what it's going to do. Because your muscles have broken down, now this is going to help the recovery and repair process, right? And Paul here is saying, look, I'm praying that strength would come in your life. And when it does, this is the effect. This is the effect of that. Paul now gives a breakdown of what this no plan B lifestyle is, what this inner strength accomplishes. So in verse 17, he starts by saying, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust him. What he's saying is that Christ dwells in us through strength and something, Christ dwells in us through faith. So this is to say that our relationship with Christ continues to grow as we walk with him daily. We may think this is simple Jesus 101, but there's a little depth here that I'm going to get into. Paul is referring to an organic relationship with Christ. He's saying as the Spirit comes into your life and you're strengthened, what should be happening is that Christ will make his home in your heart as you're trusting in him. As you have faith in Jesus, he's going to make his home in your heart. As this strength, this spirit is coming into your life, your organic relationship with Jesus continues to grow. And I use that word organic for a reason, because what we're talking here is we're talking about not just knowing of Jesus, but knowing Jesus. And I've said this before, it's probably my favorite analogy ever of what it looks like to know of Jesus and know Jesus. It's the difference of, like, I'm walking into Orion's, up to Orion's door, and I knock on his door, and Orion doesn't know me. And as soon as he opens it, I step into the door and kind of push him away. What would you do, Orion? I'm a stranger. He'd push me out, right? Puff of a chest, what are you doing in my house, right? I don't know you. But then the guy says, no, I know everything there is to know about you, Orion. What are you talking about? I know where you sleep. I know what you eat. I know what you're going to do today. I know what you did then. I know your whole family. I know everything about you. And Orion's, I don't know you. This is some sort of stalker here, right? And he'd freak out, because this is the difference. An organic relationship, if I know Orion and I have the kind of relationship where I could just walk into his house, it's no problem. Because I have a relationship with Orion, right? There's a difference between knowing of somebody and actually knowing them. And what Paul is saying here is, as the Spirit comes into your life, you're going to know Christ. You're going to know him through organic relationship. That's why he says, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. This is a process of growth. Yes, there's the introduction to Jesus, right? There's that, I believe in Jesus and now he's in my heart, the introduction phase, but it doesn't stop there. It's a continued growth as you trust in him. As you put faith in Jesus, that relationship grows and blossoms. A trust in God's lead would develop. That's what he's praying for, is that you're strengthened by the Spirit and a trust in God's lead is being developed. And as in any relationship, closeness and intimacy develops over time, as trust is tested and proven again and again and given again and again, right? We all know the nature of all of our relationships changes over time, right? As closeness and intimacy changes. But that happens through an organic process. And it can be beyond just with your spouse. It could be with anyone. It could be your friendships change with people as they organically go. My relationship with my wife, though it was great 5 years ago when it began and we became married, but it's grown since then, right? It's changed. And so he's saying, as you trust in him, there's this, you know, sometimes we get into this mode of thinking, oh, I'm a believer, I am perfect right now. We forget the fact that we are being changed more and more and more to look like Christ, right? It's as you trust in him, as your faith is being put in him, you're being changed to look like him. So what he's saying here is, yeah, you're going to be given the strength, but I still expect a relationship between you and Christ Jesus to develop over time organically. We getting this? Yeah? Once again, stop me if I need to be stopped. If there's something I'm not saying, just stop me. Because when Christ is in you, you have all you need to do good works. John 15, Jesus says this, remain in me and I will remain in you. This is kind of like him saying, yeah, you have me, now keep me. It's like, now we're together in a relationship. Well, now make sure that relationship continues. Remain in me and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is severed from the vine, and you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. You cannot do good works unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who remain in me, and I in them, will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So this is what Paul is praying. Paul is praying that we remain in Christ, that this relationship that I first talked about in my first prayer continue to develop and grow. I'm praying this for you guys. And it's funny that right after he prays for strength, he emphasizes the necessity of a relationship with Christ being continued, the necessity of faith in Jesus being continued. He's praying that we are strengthened by God's Spirit in order that Christ may be in us, and that his presence, and by his presence, we will have all we have to do good work, all we need to do good works. This kind of strength in the Spirit is going to bring about a deeper walk with the Spirit. Think about Psalms 23:1. In the future, I might speak on the whole chapter, but Psalms 23:1, it's probably the most famous one of the most famous chapters in the Bible. So the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, right? We're familiar with that a little more. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all you need, all I need. These words become real in our lives like a banner of how we live. That's what he's praying. The Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need. He wants that to be prominent in our life. He wants that to be the truth about our lives. But the Lord's lead isn't natural to the way I like things. This is where it gets a little real for me. The Lord's lead isn't natural to the way I like things. Everybody says, the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need, but he leads by the Spirit in relationship with him alone. And he doesn't just deliver a to-do list and then walk away, right? How many of you guys use GPS when you go somewhere, right? So if I'm going somewhere I don't know, I have GPS on, right? But I think there's two types of GPS people. There's a type that turn it on and they go, right? And then there's people like me, where I analyze the map before I leave and try to memorize every turn and move as much as I can in my head so that there are no surprises along the way. This is not how Jesus leads. This is not how the Spirit leads in our life. And it can be a little daunting sometimes because he says, go there. And you're like, okay, what's that? What's after that? He said, no, just go there. Well, do I need to bring anything? No, just go over there. Okay, maybe I'll pack a lunch. No, don't pack a lunch, go. He's like, well, how long am I going to be there? And this is how God leads in our life. He's saying, because the Lord is my shepherd, I have all I need, needs to be a truth in our life. He doesn't just deliver a to-do list and walk away. He says, follow me, let's go. Follow me, let's go. We're going somewhere together. You're following me. We have reservations. We want security. We want the security of a task list, of a map. And he says, I am your security. You have all I need. Let's go. And so Paul is reiterating this statement of, I'm praying for God alone in your life. What I mean by that is continued relationship that you have with Christ. How many of you guys can relate to this and find following the Spirit difficult sometimes just because of this one factor of God says, follow me, let's go, rather than giving a to-do list? This becomes difficult. It's like, I don't know where I'm going, right? I don't know where I go. It becomes especially difficult when the Lord says, give what you have right now. You mean all of it? All of it. Okay, but I have bills a little later, and I was thinking about getting Mr. Pickles later. I don't know how odd I go. No, just do it. So I am all you need. The Lord is my shepherd. I have all I need. This needs to be a truth in our life. Then he gets to this next point. In his prayer, he says, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. He's praying that we would develop firm, unmovable roots that are established in God's love, keeping us strong. We've gone over this many times before, so I'm going to just breeze past this. The roots determine a couple things. First, they determine what we are connected to and firmly grasping to, and what is solid and unmovable. So when we have roots in God, we're solid and unmovable. And he's saying, as your relationship in Christ grows, so too your roots grow in his love. Deep roots make us unmovable and firm and solid. You know, it's like when you're driving on the highway. You know, one of the things that they do when they form any large embankment, like on an on or off ramp, you'll see that there's always grass. Someone asked me, well, I think it was, I don't know, maybe it was one of the students, of like, you know, why don't they just remove the grass? Because, you know, it's a fire hazard, isn't it? Say, well, the roots are actually holding everything there. You know, it keeps everything in place when the rainy season comes. Roots establish us. We could say this is the type of strong roots that Daniel and his three friends had all throughout the book of Daniel. We see them constantly facing this adversity, constantly facing these opportunities to say, I'm going to lean on more than God alone. When they're in the moments before the fiery furnace, they could have just talked their way out of it. They could have just bowed down for a moment just to get past the fiery furnace. But they said, no, God alone. We have deep roots in God alone. Deep roots in his love. We're unmoving. You can't move us. And even King Nebuchadnezzar says, I'll give you a second chance. I'm a merciful king, you see. I'll give you a second chance. Just bow down to this idol I created. And he'd say, we don't even need a second chance. Just throw us in. Just do it. Just go for it. And of course, this makes the king mad. He just throws them in. What do? They're standing there. Because God is God, chooses in that moment to save them. This is the kind of resolve the church needs to navigate trying times. Right? I believe that in the beginning of all this corona stuff, our roots in God's love and who God was kept us strong to our commitment to serve our community, regardless of the risk to self, right? Taking all of the annoying precautions too. Wearing gloves and masks. Okay, do whatever we got to do. We're going to serve the community. God's love, an aspect of his character, is unchanging. It's solid and firm. Something that roots can grab a hold of and not be moved. It's not that it's stronger than some other things, but that God's love is the strongest and the only truly unmovable thing. Everything else is movable. Everything else is shifty. We may think that just because we have roots in something that we're unmovable. No, that's not the case, right? Trees are blown over all the time. The roots just rip right out of the ground. God's love is the only unchanging, firm, and solid thing. This prayer for deep roots in God's love also does a second thing. He's praying that we are receiving all we need to thrive. Right? When you have great soil, surface level isn't enough. Isn't where you stay, you dive deep, right? Roots tend to they dive deep when they have great soil. They just don't stay on top where just the water puddles or whatever. Good soil will soak it up, and the roots will dive deep. Now, there are some trees that do just sprawl across, okay? My expertise is in lawns, not all trees and whatnot, so. But for our purposes, he's praying for deep roots. And when God is the soil, he wants deep roots into that. Then he prays this. So we're through his prayer, he's already prayed, then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him, and your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And then he says, and may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is for you. This is what we covered in Paul's first prayer a month ago, that we may know what we know beyond what we know, right? It's this crazy concept of being able to know beyond what you know. It's knowing something that you know beyond what you know. How many times do I need to repeat it? This is that knowing beyond what we're capable of knowing ourselves. All God's people needs to know these things, and this comes from a relationship with God and roots in his love. This is to know that I know I'm just zooming through here. I'm going to slow down on this one. This is to know what we can't know by study alone, what we can't know by seeing alone, what we can't know on our own ability, but requires the strength of God himself for us to know. So this is just the fullness of God's love, the fullness of God's power. And then he continues. So these are actually just, this is actually just one that he puts, that I'm breaking apart. So he first prays, may you have the power to understand, and all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep his love is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to fully understand. He's praying, may you have an understanding through personal experience, through a relationship with Christ. You see, he keeps kind of emphasizing this point of maintaining your relationship in Christ and staying in him and remaining in Christ. May you have an understanding through personal experience of the love of Christ, even though it is too great, too awesome, too other for our human experience to understand. How many of you guys have experienced, there's these moments where the Lord wants to do something awesome in your life, and he fills you with his Spirit, and it's like you're overwhelmed by God. It's in this moment you know who he is, but it's like you can't explain it, right? It's like my study of Scripture comes like, okay, I had this experience with God. What was that? Like, I know that this is real, you know? Or when people come to know Christ, often they're coming to know because they know in their hearts it's God speaking to them. I am Christ. I am your Lord. I am your Savior. And they come to accept him as that. And then we're like, well, and then we come along and say, well, this is what's happening in there. Like, let me describe. You know this thing, right? And so God's saying, through relationship with me, I'm going to help you know what you already know, right? I already know these things, but I'm going to help you know it further. I'm going to help you know it more. I'm going to help you put words to it even. Because it's like God's love is so unexplainable, and that might be why this thing is so huge, right? And Paul writes so much because he's like, it's so unexplainable, but I need to communicate it to you. So may you know what you know. May you experience the love of God, though it is too great to fully understand. It's like saying, I hope you can lift that weight, though it's too great for you to lift. Right? So, well, through the strength of the Holy Spirit, you can understand these things in relationship with Christ. And this is his kind of point of all of this. He ends this segment of the prayer by saying this. Then, so after all of this, then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Then you will be made complete. Then you will have the fullness of life. Then you will have the fullness of power that comes from God. So he's saying, then we will have all we need, the fullness of God's life and power, so that we are made complete and fit to do the work before us. Because we talked about this last week in saying that the work that is before you, the work that God expects done, the work that you're going to approach him one day and say, this is what I've done, it's an impossible work. It is. It is an impossible work. That's why we're amazed and blessed to be a part of what the Lord is doing through the salt mine and through believers here, because we see it is an impossible work. How does it get done year after year, day after day? It's an impossible work. It's being done by his Spirit. So he's saying, after all this, I'm praying that you'll have the strength by the Spirit, because this is going to happen. Your relationship with Christ is going to grow, and you're going to understand more. And by his strength, you're going to be made complete with both life and power, so that you can do the works that are impossible, but you're going to be able to do them. So he's praying that we as the church will be made complete and fit to do the work before us. So this is why we're taking this on as our own prayer. Like, I want to be made fit to do this work. I want to be able to accomplish all that the Lord has put before me for both myself and my family and us as a body. It's been hard-pressed on me to pray for us as both us as a local church, but also the global church, who are being persecuted all over the place in Asia, and Russia is getting real scary over there, and the prospect of the church going underground there and many other places. And one day, I'm not saying this, I'm not trying to be a fear-monger, but I'm praying that the Lord, we would be prepared for those moments, that the Lord would strengthen us through his Spirit to do all that he has called us to do, and that we would take advantage of the moment that we have now to do these things, because we have a freedom to be the church right now. So I'm praying, Lord, help us take advantage of this moment. Help us to be strengthened. We're getting a glimpse of what might be coming, a glimpse of it. So now, you know, I'm thinking, Lord, strengthen us. Give us all we need. The work is only getting harder. It's hard to do good work. This is the strength he's praying for all believers, that we are equipped with the Spirit of God, filled with power and life to do good works. It is by the Spirit that we are given strength. The spiritual strength's end result is that we are fully equipped with life and power. This is what's required to do good works, even beyond what we may think possible and fit to ask. And so this little phrase thing he pops on at the end, I'm forgetting the word for it. It says, now all glory to God, who is able through his mighty power at work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. He's going to do more through you than you can even imagine. He's going to do good works through you that you didn't think were possible. He's going to use you to not just make an impact, but an eternal impact, an impact that will not change. An impact that makes a difference in yes, our physical, but also the spiritual, and is going to make an eternal impact on someone's life. That's what we're here to do. Now, glory to God, who is able through his mighty power work within us to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think. Glory to him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. This is the prayer for us. So I'm going to pray for us. I'm going to ask the worship team to get ready and come on up. And we're going to pray for us. And we're going to take this prayer as our own, that we would be strengthened. But I'm going to say the same thing as last week. And I asked you guys before you left last week, is that, is this what you want? Are you willing to go there? Are you willing to engage in organic relationship with God? Are you willing to say, I follow Christ alone and I have all I need? Are you willing, when God says, follow me, let's go, to just go? Are we willing to say, I don't want a plan B, I want God alone. He is the only one able. He is the only one fit. I want to do this impossible work. I know it's going to be hard. I know it's going to be difficult. But there's a work that the Lord has planned for me to do, for our church to do, and I want to do it. Then this prayer, this is a prayer for us. And that it requires a real determination on our part, a real firmness on our part. And what Paul is saying is that firmness, that kind of almost like, how are Meshach, Radshach, and Abednego, how are they standing before this furnace and just making what seems like this impossible claim of like, no, I'm good, throw me in. How are they doing that? It's because they know how deep, how wide, how high the love of God is. And I'm praying that the Lord would take us to a new level in our relationship with Him, and our roots would grow deeper in His love. Amen? So Lord, thank you. Thank you for equipping us with all we need to be the church. And I thank you, Father, for the works that you've done through us, an impossible work. But Father, we are saying we want to be a church who continues to be used by you. Lord, strengthen us by your Spirit. Take us to new depths in our relationship with you. Father, I pray that we would know truly how great and how mighty your love is for us. Father, I pray that in our lives that you show us just how capable you are doing, of how just how capable you are of doing the impossible in our lives, more than we might think or ask. Father, I pray for a radical obedience in our lives, that when you say, come, follow me, let's go, we go. An obedience that from the outside looks foolish. But because we have you and you alone, and because you're a part of the equation, it makes sense. It's the only thing that works. It's our only option for us to say we serve God alone. Amen.